he abides. He abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Yes, he abides. Oh, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides. Aren't you glad that he does?
Well, do you appreciate the fact that he does abide with you? You know, sometimes we think, well, ain't nobody here but me. But I'm going to tell you something. He's with you all the time. When you feel him, when you don't feel him, I'm glad he's present. I'm glad he's present. Are you glad about it tonight? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Well, let's stand tonight, if you will. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in the house of God on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see all of you. God bless you. Let's sing just a little bit more of that, buddy, if you will. Okay.
Yes, he abides. Oh, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. Yes, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. One more time. He abides. Yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides. Yes, he abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We've got just a few prayer requests. If you'll just remain standing with me tonight for a few minutes. Brother Gene Terrell wanted to thank everyone for your kindness, your prayers and cards for Sister Jane, and also for your visits to the hospital. But due to the fact that she is weak and struggling, we need to ask that you make your visit short. So we certainly want to honor that request tonight. Spoke with Brother Gene just a little while ago, and they've discovered a couple more injuries to Sister Jane that he wasn't aware of, a vertebrae in her neck that has been damaged, also a very badly bruised knee. But he did say that she made a turn for the better this afternoon, and they want to praise the Lord for that. So thank you for remembering her and Brother Gene in prayer. Just precious, precious people. Also want to pray for Sister Lisa Davis. Brother Bud, Sister Lisa, you know, while she was here, her and Brother Bud, for Sister Betty Jo's service, she received word that her mother had passed away. And I think they had her service maybe yesterday or today, one of the two. So we certainly want to pray for those folks, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Sister Sylvia called from North Carolina, needs prayer for migraines and arthritis, very serious infection in her ear that caused her eardrum to burst. She was also in a serious car wreck and has bruises on her spine. So they're asking that we would pray for that need tonight. Brother Ron Daly wants us to remember his mother in prayer, 89 years old, has shingles in a lot of pain. So let's pray for her tonight. I want to pray for Debbie Webster, who was admitted to the Johnson City Medical Center with double pneumonia. So let's pray for that need. I want to pray for Elaine Dobbs from Indiana, who has had serious surgery today. The family asked that we would pray and that would all would go well with her. So let's remember that. Brother Baker wants us to pray for England and Sarah Ellis. Both need a job. Most of all, they need the Lord. So let's remember those folks. Brother Baker offers this testimony. I'm doing a whole lot better now, still not out of the woods, but by God's grace, I will be completely better. He was admitted to the hospital just a few days ago, and he's out back in service with us tonight. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Moyer says, asking the body to keep us in prayer. Children's Services has decided to pull us back into court under false pretense. Been very stressful on us. Please pray that it gets thrown out again and the devil gets a black eye. Also remember my wife in prayer. She's been in and out of the hospital since her surgery. She needs and she wants a touch from the Lord for total deliverance. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray for those folks. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please remember Eugene Kennedy in prayer. He was admitted to the Johnson City Medical Center yesterday evening. Doctor is having tests done. So let's remember those folks as we pray. Sister Eastep wants us to remember her son, Jimmy. He's having another heart procedure. Please remember him in prayer. So let's remember those requests tonight as well. A young man by the name of Roger has been in trouble with the law and is currently serving time and possible faces more time. He's given his heart to the Lord, needs further instructions to trust him concerning his future. His mother as well has returned to the Lord and is quite concerned about him. Brother Amos Cut sends that in. So we certainly want to pray for that need. Brother Amos has been very sick. He is doing quite a bit better, I understand. So we continue to remember Brother Amos as well. Brother Wes Willis family, they have had a death in that family. They're asking that we would remember them also. Some of them are very sick, needs healing. So let's remember those folks tonight. Also, we have an unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, how many of you know that God's bigger than your problem? Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Brother Dan Dyer, come tonight if you would. Take us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. We're just so glad for what God's doing for us. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he great tonight? Brother Dan, God bless you, buddy. We appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen, buddy.
Father, we are so privileged just to stop and realize that you are here and that we can speak to you, Lord, in the Spirit, a personal interview, Father, with you. Thank you for putting boundaries, controls on our life. The word that we hear, the teaching that we hear challenges us. We see in the word, you know, well, we've heard so much on Job lately. It's quite a lesson. And we are all starting to see where we fit in such as that likewise, such test. Father, all we can do is just surrender to you. We trust you. We believe you and we thank you because we can't do it. We can't do it ourselves, but we look to you for the pathway to take, for the courage to hang on when times are so hard against all of us. Lord, I hold these requests in my hands. They've been read. The concerns and needs have fallen on each of us. Some are more special to some. You more personal, may we each take that concern and to our heart, lift these up. Oh God, we trust you. We need you. We thank you. We love you. Please grant these needs. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dan. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome each and every one of you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. We want to welcome from Scotland, Brother Joe and Brother David McCartney. Where will those brothers be? Would you just raise your hand right over here? Where are they? Right over here. Let's give those folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. We're certainly glad to have you guys with us in the service. They've asked us to remind all the sisters, please pick up all your dishes, whatever you have over in the fellowship hall. If you'd go by there and pick those up tonight, they would certainly appreciate it. So remember that if you would. One other little announcement. If you're a parent of a junior or a senior in high school or a home school, the state of Tennessee has offered a new program, a new grant. Students need to have at least a 3.0 GPA, but you can take online college courses free of charge from your home. It's a new grant, and my son-in-law just asked me if anybody here at the church, you've got children that would be interested in taking online courses from home free of charge. You've got a GPA of 3.0 or better, and you are a junior or a senior in high school, you qualify, and it's free of charge. So can't beat that, can you? That's just an option. If you would just leave your name in the library. My son-in-law's going to be here this weekend, the Lord willing. He'd love to just present the program to you and explain it maybe more in detail. I can barely say GPA, let alone you wouldn't even want to know what my GPA was. It don't matter. Let's sing. Brother Gene Terrell, in his conversation a while ago, he said, Brother Louis, if it won't mess the program up and you don't care, sing this song and have the congregation to really sing it with you. I've got so much to thank him for. You know, Brother Gene, Sister Jane, a terrible car crash the other night, but they've still got so much to be thankful for. You and I have got everything to be thankful for. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. You love him tonight with all your heart. Yes, I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what
to thank him. I stop and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus together just before we change the order of the service tonight. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. Let's sing it with all of our heart because it ain't nothing but the truth. He's good every time, all the time, anytime, anywhere, any place. He's good. I'm glad I'm on His side. I'm glad He loves me. Are you glad He loves you tonight? Well, I said my God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. Thank you so much for singing so good tonight. You just get better every service, I believe. I appreciate it with all my heart. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Harry, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and sing, I know you're coughing a little bit, but that don't matter. I want you to sing it anyway. The dove leads the lamb. Me and Brother Terry never get tired of this song, will we? Never. And I don't believe none of the rest of you will. Let's help him sing it tonight. We'll take up the slack if your voice gives that. All right? The dove leads the lamb. Give him a nice hand as he sings for you tonight.
You help me sing it. Do you believe it? I do too.
The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect are feeling a stir inside our hearts. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. was granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not our own, we stand just before His throne. Oh, where we'll reign with our Lord forevermore. Oh, even light has come, the bride is making preparation. We're still hearing the shout of our King. The token's been applied. And the dove leads the lamb once again. And the dove leads the lamb once again.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord Jesus. Everybody's been led by something. That's right. The religious world has been led by religious spirits, and everybody else has some kind of leader. You do too. So do I. I want mine to be the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
He's the only one that can lead us out of this place.
Yes, sir.
Let's turn tonight to Numbers chapter 32, verse 2. Let's pick up again where we were last Wednesday night of a people who had followed the leading of Moses for quite some time. Now they're fixing to come into the promised land, but they settled for something way less than what God really wanted them to have. Numbers chapter 32, verse 2. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, and Heshbon, Eliah, Shebam, and Nebo, and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war? And shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them?
Amen.
You see, there's a difference between their land and these 2.5 tribes. The Lord never gave them that land. Gilead, Transjordan, which is called, was not a promise of God. It was not a promise. As far as God was concerned, the border started with Jordan. That was the border. Even after God told him, all right, go ahead, if that's what you want, go ahead and take it. God still refers to the border of the land of Canaan being the Jordan River. So you and I can live on this side of the Jordan if we want to, but God won't change His word. That's right. That's exactly right. Myself, I want to move over to the promised land and be where God's word. How many'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord in prayer? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Father, that we have the divine calling from you to be able to pull us to a land, oh Lord Jesus, that's so much greater than what we absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we deserve. Lord, it's not that we think that we're so good and so wonderful that we should have the best. The reason we want the best is because you've offered it to us. And Lord, we would sell ourselves short and your program for us not to be everything that you want us to be. Take your word tonight, Lord, and speak to us. May we learn by these examples which have been lived so many, many years ago. You saw the needs of the children of God that were signified by an uplifting hand. I pray that you'd move for them, Lord. You know there's many sick, and we're just asking that you'd be mindful. Speak to us tonight, Lord, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look in verse 14. Moses gets quite upset at these people. He feels like that not only are they going to sell themselves short of the glory of God, but he feels like by them settling for less, that it will cause some of the rest of the people of God to do exactly the same thing. And we know that it tends to produce the same thing today. A preacher can preach a certain standard and preach the gospel, preach the message to a certain place. But all it takes is an element of people who sit under that same man. And they get an element of prestige in the church or position in the church or they're well thought of in the church. And the preacher preaches up this high, we'll say. But yet these people live down here. And then the carnal-minded people will always tend to acclimate or go toward that lower standard which is projected by people of reputation and honor. Then they will look at that and say, well, so-and-so does that, and so-and-so does that, and they go to the church, and their children are allowed to do this and that and the other. Even though the preacher may stand and read scriptures and read quotes and prove it over and over again, and year after year after year, but because they don't have Canaan on totally on and in their soul yet, they are looking more at settling down in Gilead or Transjordan, and they will use those people of lesser character and lesser standard, and they will measure themselves by that. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings tonight, but I ain't using none of you for my example. God's word is my example. That's exactly right. Good preachers, good people, but I put my ultimate confidence in no man. I don't care who they are. Because every man is exactly that, a human being. And they will let you down. They will disappoint you. I have my ultimate confidence in the Lord Jesus and nobody else. I have confidence in you all and preachers and people around the world. But I have my confidence in a limited way, knowing that they are human beings and they can fail. Now, notice what Moses says in verse 14. Behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men. To argument, yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. I mean, he comes down on them. He don't just smile, okay, if that's what y'all want, whatever you want, so be it. I mean, he stands right there. Listen to verse 15. But if you turn away from after him, yet will you let again leave in the wilderness, and shall you destroy all this people? Now, what's amazing is these very names of these cities which they mention. In the years that are to come, when it comes to the Amalekites, the Moabites, even some of the Hittites that are left, these cities, when you study historically, you'll find out they are some of the very first places that are taken by the enemy. Now, you think of these people, they had no way of knowing, of course, prophetically, that what they were doing was settling them in for less, and they were going to live on this side of Jordan, which the tabernacle or the tent of God would be on the other side of Jordan. The Shekinah of God, remember now, God was not revealing himself all over the earth because the knowledge of the Lord was not all over the earth. So God would pick a particular spot or area or race or people, and that he would reveal the fullness of the attribute of himself. And if you were not there, you just did not catch that attribute of the revealing of God. Where they were going to be and where they were going to live was on the other side of the dividing line of the Shekinah of God. The altar of God was not there. The house of God was not there. The temple of God was not there. And yet, them knowing this, they still choose it for themselves and for their children. How sad. Now, you realize that's exactly the same way that it is today and has been ever since man has been made. That you and I, what we choose for our walk with God, we're not just choosing it for ourselves, but the friends and the people that are around you that you have an influence on, you will also have an impact upon other lives by the way you choose. Now, if you choose to go all the way of what God wants you to be, that positive choice has the ability of influencing others, and they say, Brother Greg made it. I believe I can make it too. I believe I can press on. That sister made it. That brother made it. This one made it. But if you choose to settle over in Gilead on the other side of Jordan, your choice also has the same power. Then others will look and say, well, he's a good man. I know her.
her. She's a good sister. I mean, you know, they're not really that caught up in all this stuff. I just think Brother Donnie goes overboard with it sometimes. I don't think God demands that. Now look at these people here. They're good people and they love God. They're going in the rapture just like this one is and that one is. Well, that's a good guess, but we really don't know that for sure, do we? So myself, if I'm gonna hang my soul on something, I don't want to hang it on a guess. I don't want to hang it on a surmising, well, this is a good man or that's a good man. I want to hang my soul on something I know is absolutely, absolutely irrefutable, cannot fail, and the only thing that is the Word of God. Now, Moses, as he comes back at him, I want you to notice, he said, if you will turn away from after him, yet he will yet again leave you them in the wilderness. Again, why? Because God had already threatened to do that because of their unbelief. Had it not been for the mediatorial work of the prophet Moses, God would have never went with him in the land of Canaan. Now, he says he will turn away. He will absolutely, if you're going to turn from him, he will turn from you. Now, how is it that these people actually come up with this idea anyway, that God somehow would give them what they wanted simply because it was their choice? Now, keep in mind that our mindset of the promises of God have a great deal to do with how those promises will take full effect or partial effect on our lives. Now, these people had not truly risen to the thought that the land of Canaan was the best land because God chose it. Now, let me say it again. They had not risen to the thought that the land of Canaan was the best land simply on the basis that God chose it for them. But they made their choice not based upon God's thought. They made their choice based upon their circumstances. So they had a lot of cattle, and they looked at Heshbon, they looked at Nebo, they looked at all these places, and they said, well, there's more pasture here, there's less rocks, and there's less mountainous type deals where the water runs off and runs the topsoil off. So they compared themselves and they looked at this land and they said, well, this is the best land for us. So they make their choice not based upon having God's choice, but based upon their own circumstances. Well, God understands that I cannot go to church. God understands that I cannot do this and I cannot do that. So people then accept a secondary level, a Gilead, if you will, a secondary level, and they feel like that God accepts that because that's all their circumstances will allow. How sad that is. And then they settle for less. And then what was abnormal initially, it becomes a little bit more acceptable with some. And before you know it, they feel totally comfortable being completely out of the will of God. Now, these people had not yet fully comprehended in their mind that the land of Canaan was God's absolute choice. And if it was, even if it held more rocks, then so be it. If there was more difficulty, and there was, then so be it. But their mind had not lined up to God's mind, that God's thinking was, this is the land of the seven nations. Now keep this in mind, that there were seven nations that God mentioned that they were going to go into. The land of Canaan did not start in Gilead. The land of Canaan did not start in Transjordan. The land of Canaan started as the boundary of Jordan River. Now the land of Canaan was what was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and also to their descendants. But yet the people had not got this thought that this was exactly where God wanted them to be, so that's where they need to be. So their thinking was already different, so they could accept far beneath what God wanted them to have, because their thought did not match up to God's thought. Amen. It's the same way with you and I. Now we can think, well, you know what? God understands. God understands. I can't read my Bible that often. I can't pray. I can't go to church. But you know, just every now and then, God understands that I'm too tired when I come in from work. So instead of getting ready to go to church, I'll just sit on the stream. I don't live but 3 miles from the church, but God understands how tired I am. Yeah, he really does. He understands what kind of a life you're living in Gilead. Totally up to you. I'm not saying you won't be saved. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying if you're going to live where we live, you're going to come to the presence of God, you ought to make yourself more known. Amen. Amen. You ought to show something there as far as a consideration to the Word of God. Now you see, it's the same way with the way I view the rapture in heaven. A great deal of heaven depends upon our conception of what heaven really is. Now if heaven is only a location to people, which the majority of Christendom, that's what heaven is. Heaven is a geographical spot somewhere that's, they don't know exactly where it's at, but it's somewhere beyond the clouds or somewhere. And so to them, going to heaven is something that they will go to by and by. And it's something that they look forward to. It's something that they think they really do want to go. But to a real believer, heaven is not a geographical location. But heaven is actually an atmosphere that the real believer has already started to enter into. And that's why we can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, don't let me shake you, but I don't have to wait till the rapture to be in heaven. My Lord, for decades in my life, I've been walking in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if this part is this good, I can't imagine what it'll be when I arrive at the geographical location. But to me, I have already. Now you think of Joshua and Caleb. For 40 years, they have thought about the land. They've dreamed about the land. They've talked about the land. They planned on the land. They had already, in one sense, in their mind, entered into the land. Oh, hallelujah. They had already entered into the land of promise because they thought about it. They talked about it. They planned for it. Praise be to God. To them, the land of Canaan was not just a geographical location. It was accepting and the manifestation of a promise of God. And to a real believer, this is why we love to come to church, because it is a heavenly place for the believer. Church is not just a geographical location that we come together. I think about church on Monday. I think about church on Tuesday. I think about church every day of my life. If it happens to be that I'm going hunting somewhere or in a meeting somewhere, I go to watching my watch at about 6:45, and I go to seeing it about 5:05, then about 7:00, I think, well, Brother Lewis probably up singing by now, and they're playing, they're getting ready for this. Church is a part of my life. I don't just do it every now and then. Oh my, I've done it, I'll tell you, for all these years, and I love it now more than I've ever loved it. I've been going to church since I was a 12-year-old boy, and I'm a 59-year-old wore-out man, and I hope as long as I live, I get to go to church and assemble myself with the saints of God, because to me, it is my place. It is my inheritance. It is heaven on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. I get to sit in heavenly places with the saints of God. Hallelujah. You see, if Canaan itself was the promised land alone, then why were not the Canaanites blessed? Well, if it's a geographical location alone, then it doesn't really make any difference who lives there. If the land itself, the acreage, the certain spot, if that's what's blessed, then what was the difference? I'll tell you what the difference was. When the blessed people got in the blessed land, you got two omnipotents coming together. But you put them Canaanites in the same land, and they struggled and warred and this and that and the other. Oh my. But when you put the blessed people in the blessed land, hypocrites can come to church. They don't want to get nothing out of it. Evil people can come to church. A lot of them don't get nothing out of it. But you put the blessed people in the blessed atmosphere. My, what is it? Heaven on earth again. Other people sit there and they can't even stay awake long enough to say amen. But you get real believers in there and they're at home. They are in their element. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Notice now, verse 16, the response of these people. They came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds for our cattle and cities for our little ones. Now listen now, the proposal of what they're going to do. No. You've got the wrong idea. It's not like that we're going to stay here and let the bride, I mean the rest of Israel, go ahead and cross over into Jordan and we're just going to stay here. No. We didn't make it simple enough, I guess. What we're going to do is we are going to rebuild these cities of these people that we have destroyed. We're going to rebuild them, and then we will leave some men here to rebuild the sheepfolds and the cities. All this stuff that God told us to tear down, we're going to rebuild them, and then we're going to live in them. Come on now, church, listen to me. If you hold on to that, you'll see a lot of spiritual things that's went on in this message since God's prophet's been gone. A lot of these men who wanted to be a Joshua and a Caleb and wanted to take Brother Branham's place, look exactly what took place. The prophet of God come in and destroyed the land of Og and Bashan and Nebo and all them. What did these men do? Went right back to the same cities and built them back up again and started them another little denominational head. And if you're the bride, you got to come over here. If you're the bride, you got to come over here. Don't you understand what they're doing? They're rebuilding the same city the prophet of God tore down. Now they're not going to live out there in the open, so they're going to go back and rebuild. But they said, no, you totally misunderstood us. We're going to let people of ours stay over here and rebuild this thing, and then we'll go over and fight with the rest of the children of Israel, and we'll stay there and fight till they get their inheritance, until they get their inheritance, but that's not who we are. And then after the bride comes to her place, we'll leave them. Woo! After the bride comes to her place and her inheritance, then we'll cross back over Jordan and we'll go back where we come from. Can't you see why we got to lose folks? But that means you're just about ready to body change in time. We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready, armed before the children of Israel. And we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Now notice what they're doing. They've already got this figured out. They don't have one promise of God to back them up. They don't even have one quote. They have their circumstances. This is a great land for cattle. We have cattle. So based upon that, I think we should say here, don't you, brothers? All of y'all are cattle raisers. Don't y'all think we should say, let's all get together. What do you think? Let's all get together and talk about this. Don't you think, Brother Rob? Now what about it? Don't you think so, Brother Larry, Brother Scott? You brothers are cattle raisers? What about it? We got all these cattle. Don't you think, Brother Jim, we ought to just take a herd and we'll stay together here. We'll let the rest of the brothers go over and we'll fight. But we'll leave some of our people here and they'll rebuild these cities. Now we know God told us to tear them down, but really there's nothing wrong with the cities themselves. It was just in bad people. But we'll move in there and we'll rebuild this denominational thing and we'll set up a headquarters in Jeffersonville and then we'll set another one over in Johnson City and we'll set another one down in Louisiana and we'll send one up in Virginia and we'll set one over in Trinidad and we'll rebuild all these cities that God's prophet tore down and then we'll have all these strongholds. You denominational bastard. You illegitimate, born to the word of God. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. Any denomination formed by man to where man is the head is Antichrist. Woo. Oh my. Lord Jesus, help us. Notice this now, verse 19. For we will not inherit with them. On yonder side of Jordan. Isn't it amazing how close this was? All that separated them was Jordan. Well, I said all. That was only geographically. There was a great separation right here. We are not going to inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan. Yonder side is my inheritance. The Happy Valley, each one of you can settle for what you want. There's been enough come through this church here in the last 28 years that I've been here. My Lord, we could have a church 15 times as big as this one probably. But what, a lot of them went here, went there, went somewhere else. A lot of them quit. A lot of them left a message, whatever more. Why? It's deciding time. But you know what? My determination is greater than ever. Brother Donnie, ain't you discouraged? Discouraged about what? I've always knew everybody here at this church wasn't sheep. You get goats along, they sound like sheep, they bleat like sheep, I rub them on the head like sheep. I talk to them like sheep, I preach to them like sheep, but they'll manifest what they are. Even Jesus won't change a goat to a sheep, and the devil can't make a sheep to a goat. Hallelujah! All I want at Happy Valley glory as those who God sends me. If we get down to 50 and that's God's will, so be it. If we get to 9,000 and that's God's will, so be it. I want what God wants. But I ain't looking for a crowd. I'm looking for the cloud. I'm not looking for people. Oh, Brother Don, he's this great, great, great. There's only one great one among us, and that ain't me. My sink. We will not inherit with them. Now watch them separating themselves from the children of Israel. And the separation is beginning where? Within themselves. Or forward. Because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan, eastward. According to what? How can they be so confident, Brother Terry? They have absolutely nothing from God's prophet, nothing from God, no substantial evidence of tall proof that this is their inheritance, and yet they are as confident as they can be. You're talking about dangerous when we get to such a spot that we settle for less, and then we go to saying, this is what God wants for me. Well, God don't want me to be victorious. God don't want me to be happy. God wants me to be down all the time. Now, where's the scripture say that? Are you going to have down times? Yes, sir. But you show me where the Bible says you got to be down all the time. You show me where sadness is your strength. I'll show you where the Bible says the joy of the Lord is. Where did they get such assurance? They were just as assured and confident as Joshua and Caleb were. Based on what? Their human reasoning. Isn't it amazing how human reasoning can be so strong that people will take it for faith? I know it's a truth. I know it. And just as wrong can be. Now watch, whenever they go over and fight, and then they come back, let's look at this result, which has now been many years in the making. When the land was divided, and they come back to Transjordan, Joshua chapter 22, verse 10, and when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. Now, the children of Israel, all of them have got their inheritance on this side Jordan. These 2.5 tribes come back and they build a massive altar, big, wide, and tall, so it can be seen. Now listen. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben, children of Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. Now notice how Moses writes this, or the writer Joshua rather writes this, and terms it as a separating point between the children of Israel and these 2.5 tribes. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel. Aren't these people children of Israel? Now watch, be careful. Now because they chose to live on this side, they're going by a different name. And what name was that? Reuben, Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh. So now they are known by their own names. Now the other tribes all put together are called what? The children of Israel. The children of Israel. The children of Israel. And they are called what? Seven thunders, Perusia, return, whatever you want to call it. Oh my. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together. Together at Shiloh. To go up to war against them. Uh-oh. Now, so we have all the rest of the tribes, 9.5 tribes, that are now coming together under the auspices of the children of Israel, the whole congregation. And they're fixing to go up and they're going to kill these people, their brothers. Because why? they built an altar. What's the problem with that? Because God has one altar, not a dozen. One provided place of worship. And it was not on the other side of Jordan. Can't you see why the denomination can't go on the rapture? Listen, friend, let me just state it in big point. You do not have to accept this message to be a Christian. You can be a Christian by accepting Christ. But if you ever plan on leaving this world in a rapture, you got to have a rapturing message. And hang tight with me. You'll not find that just in the pages of the Bible. Because if you find the pages of the Bible, they all have been a rapture hundreds of years ago since you've had the King James Version since 1611. But it wasn't just getting the Bible back in reprint. It was the content of the mysteries that was under the seven seals that would restore the hearts of the people back to the original faith to produce a rapture. So if you leave this world in a rapture, you got to have a rapturing message. Praise the Lord. And preaching about Jesus dying on a cross is not a rapturing message. Woo! Preaching about Jesus walking on water and raising the dead. It takes more than that to bring a rapture in this last days. Now watch, where's all this coming from? All this complete misunderstanding years later come from what? Them making the wrong choice. Notice in verse 16, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. What trespass is this that you've committed against the God of Israel? Now they've all come past and they've moved right over next to where they're fixing to attack them. To turn away this day from following the Lord, in that you have builded you an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord. Look at this confusion now among all these people that are supposedly following the same prophet. Whew. Look in verse 21. Then the children of Reuben, children of Gad, how are they identified? By their own names. And said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, why are they no longer identified as Israel? Their choice. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth. And Israel, he shall know, if it be in rebellion or in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or to offer peace offerings thereon. Let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? Yeah. Well, in reality, wouldn't they have a right to say that? Can you blame the children of Israel for the fault and the error that the children of Gad and Reuben and Manasseh have made? No. So in order to remedy this bad choice, they're now going to build an altar. Notice in verse 25, for the Lord has made, listen now, the Lord has made Jordan a border between us and you. Really? Really? They are speaking, Brother Terry, as if they have directly, thus saith the Lord. Now, where did God say that? He didn't. But you see, they were like Eve. They thought on it for so long and believed it for so long that if they thought it, it was truth. You say, that's awful. I'd say if you and I looked really deep at some of the things we believe, we might find the same thing. Praise the Lord. That's why you cannot convince some people. When they're wrong, you're wasting your time. Because it's so settled with them, then they ain't taking nothing else. You try to give them advice, you try to give them counsel, whatever, you're pretty much wasting your time. And most of the time as a pastor, when I find people like that, I just save my breath. Because you can't help them. Until whatever it is that's making them so convinced, until that's changed, scriptures and quotes will not change them. It makes no difference how many pages you give them.
Oh, God, help me. I'll never get that way. Lord Jesus. For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. You children of Reuben and children of Gad, you have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Now notice what they're saying. They're saying one of these days your children's going to say the Lord made a border here between us. And your children will say to our children, y'all ain't got nothing to do with the message. I mean the God of Israel. Well, let me just tell you this. These folks around the message who leave the absolute of the Word of God and make this preacher and that preacher and another preacher their absolute, they're not following the message, no way. They're following what part of the message they want. Praise God. And if I ever try to become your absolute over the top of the Word of God, I'd advise you to leave this place. Because our absolute should be the Word. Not me, not some other preacher, not some other young preacher superstar, old preacher superstar. Our absolute should be the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost in you and I will say amen to the Word whether we understand it or not. It'll say amen to the Word if it cuts us to pieces. Now notice what they said in verse 26. Therefore we said. Can't you see what this whole thing is based on? It's their choice. It's their thinking. Now it's what they say. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar. Not for burnt offering. Not for sacrifice. But that it may be a witness between us. Now somebody please stand if you have any scripture to show me anywhere where God ever gave anyone a command to build an altar for a witness. God commanded altars to be built for sacrifice. But they made it clear they're not going to sacrifice on this altar. They're not going to pray on it. They're not going to give trespass offering or sin offering. It's only a memorial type of thing. Just to kind of put us in mind of what the new birth was. Because crossing Jordan is dying, of course. And they're not crossing Jordan. Now what? Oh my. That it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before Him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifice and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we that it shall be when they should so say to us and to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern, Lord God. Behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord. Lord, children, listen. They had seen the shape, the design, the symmetrical circumference, the depth, the length, the height of the altar that Moses had built. And now they're going to build one in the same pattern. What is it? A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It'll be in the pattern. Don't you see why so many folks in the day we're living, why they're falling away from God? They've had the pattern of the altar, not the altar itself. If you ever become that altar of God in your soul and that living presence of God comes out, you'll never turn away. If you get the pattern, you can turn away anytime. So notice now, they're going to build this altar and they're going to make it look as close as possible, identically to the one that Moses built. It's got the same pattern. Lord, help us, God. Behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices. It is a witness. So we've built this church, and we worship and we pray. It's just a witness, that's all. We don't really think you have to have the new birth. We don't think you have to do this and do that. It's just a witness. We believe in God and we're religious.
I don't want to be religious. I want to be saved. There's a world of difference. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad call the altar Ed. Ed. And the word Ed means a witness. Notice, they don't give it God's name. They don't call it after Jehovah Elohi Israel. They don't give it anything like that, but they name it witness. There'll be no blood on it. There'll be no prayers on it. Oh, God. It's just a witness to prove to you all we're just as good as you are. But we don't have to live the way you all live. Oh my. You see, those who try to live a life half in and half out, they always underestimate the power of their enemy and always overestimate the power of their own strengths. And this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. Now, the scary part about it is, not only do they think God is leading them to do it, but God actually allows Moses to give them what they want. So now they move from the perfect will of God in the land of Canaan, whose border begins with Jordan, to the permissive will of God in Transjordan, because they wanted it so bad. And when they heard the message, that's what they saw. And they would hear nothing else. Lord, children, if you've got a heart to receive the word and receive correction, you ought to be the happiest person in the world. Oh my goodness. Notice in Numbers 32:29. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass over with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the Lord shall be subdued, or the land rather, be subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. Now we find God allowing them to have a land that's out of the confines of the promise. The confines of the promise began with Jordan River. But we have God giving to them. Y'all want this? Take it. It's yours. You want to settle for less? Here you go. You want the land of Gilead? Show me one place God ever told Abraham he'd give him Gilead. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Amen. It's not part of the promised land.
Amen.
The land of Canaan was the land of the seven nations. Those seven nations must be broke in order to release the inheritance to the children of Israel. Glory! The land of Gilead was not part of the seven seals. I mean the land of the seven nations. Glory to God. So they could find their inheritance on the other side of the land that was not of the seven nations, but God would use Israel and they would break the power of the seven nations. And when they were broke, it would, Lord Jesus, it would release to the people of God their inheritance, the land of the seven nations. I thank God for Calvary. I thank God for the resurrection. I thank God for the power of Pentecost. Come on, preach with me now. But I never come into my inheritance until I begin to hear of a message in the last days. I've saved and saved and saved and had the Holy Ghost, but it never led me to my inheritance until, praise God, the land of flowing with milk and honey was opened to my own soul. And this is why you can find all the false so-called you want to in the message, but it won't move a real believer, because they are part of this message. This ain't just something we believe and preach. It's who we are. I am part of the seven seals. I am part of Malachi 4. I am part of Brother Branham's message. It's who I am. Hallelujah. Oh my, notice. verse in verse 31. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said unto thy servants, so will we do. I'll tell you one thing. If I'd have been standing there with the attitude I got tonight, and that prophet of God stood there and said, when you come into the land of Canaan and when you cross Jordan, and I heard that, I'd said, I repent. I repent right now. I caught that in his words. I caught that what he said, that the land of Canaan is not what I accepted as my inheritance. I repent. But instead of them repenting, they took it as a further confirmation. Well, Moses said we could have it. Yep, he sure did. He told you women, you can go ahead and cut your hair if you want to. But he also said there won't be one of you walking down the streets of gold. Oh yeah, future home. He said, I can guarantee you that. There'll be no bobbed-haired women walking down the streets of gold. I guarantee that. And that's a Malachi 4 guarantee. That's better than Walmart, Kmart, Target, or anything else. God's word guarantee. Oh my, as the Lord has said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord. Ah, you talking about religious now. Glory to God. I imagine there's a shout on it. Hallelujah, glory to God. The Lord wants us to have this denomination, the message. I'll tell you one thing. We're not crossing over there over to the land of promise. We're not the inheritance of that bunch of holy rollers in the message. Well, I don't mind telling you, I really love what Brother Ann said in Invisible Union, that if the second Adam ever produces any more children, they'll have that second Adam's way of acting the way they did on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Oh, I know we got some old dry hides in the message, and they don't want no emotion, they don't want no crying, they don't want no screaming, they don't want no jumping up and down. Go ahead and live in Gilead if you want to. I want the young people of Happy Valley to have their own experience with God. I don't want them to sit around and say, well, Mama used to tell me God used to move. I don't want them saying that here at this church. I want our young people to be able to say, I know God moves. I've seen Him move. Hallelujah. I've felt Him myself. What good does it do to give them a historical God? Lord Jesus. Listen. Verse 33. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the king, listen to this, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites. They wanted it so bad, Moses said. Here you go. Here's you some quotes to support what you want. Don't you understand why we got so many cliques and divisions in this message? God knew. God knew. Everybody that followed this message was not bright. So he went ahead and allowed his prophet to give them quotes to support their little petty ideas that he knew in time they would become so absorbed on. So all they're going to preach is the seven thunders. Did you ever add that up and say how many times Brother Bram said them two words together? Why don't you do a search sometimes and say how many times Brother Bram said seven thunders together, and then say how many times he said perfect love together? Come on now. We could go down every one of these things. That's a sideline. And what do they base it on? Most of it had no scripture in the first place. So they're basing on a quote here and one there and one there. You know what? I'm sure God allowed it to be said in such a way. And that way they could take their little quotes and go over and build a little kingdom over in Nebo and build a little kingdom over here and build a little kingdom over there and separate themselves away from the rest of the bride. Well, they're not bride. If there's bride, they'd get our pastor's tapes. Not if he's off the word, they won't. As a matter of fact, if they're bride, they don't want one of his tapes. Well, hallelujah. Now notice, Moses gives it to them now. He gives it to them. Now watch how God, after this transpires, in Numbers chapter 33, verse 51, even after they get Gilead or Transjordan, God still refers to it the original way. Speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan, into the land of Canaan. the children of Reuben and Gad and half tribe of Manasseh had changed their mind about God's word, but God had not changed his mind about his word. God, amen. God was saying the same thing that he said hundreds of years before to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Joseph. Well, let me just go ahead and say it to you tonight. That's the reason I preach repentance and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus and the consummation of the new birth by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that's the way the apostles preached it 2,000 years ago. Churches have changed it, people have changed it, and they moved the border here and moved it there and moved it somewhere else. But let us say what God said. Let us say it ain't enough to believe the message. Let us say it ain't enough to come to Happy Valley. You've got to have your own experience with God. Notice again, Numbers 35:10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, speak unto the children of Israel. Notice! He don't call them the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Issachar, half tribe of Manasseh. They're a congregation. They still believe in going to church. So they're called by one name. Don't call me Seven Thunder. I believe Seven Thunders, but I'll be Brother Ben's version of it. I wouldn't give you a nickel for all these preachers' version of this and that. I ain't got time for a bunch of trash and tommy rod. Oh, Brother Donnie, y'all listen to this man's tapes and that man's tapes. I listen to a man's tapes constantly. I guess you know what his name is. As a matter of fact, I'm on my third time this week of Future Home after listening to recognizing this message about 10 times in a row. I listen to a man's tapes, and that man ain't a deceiver, or he ain't a false prophet, or he's not a kingdom builder. Well, glory. Transjordan was never called the land of milk and honey. I found this so amazing last night. I just about had a 59-year-old man spell. The last time these words are associated together in the scripture is Joshua chapter 5 verse 6, the land of milk and honey. Then the Bible goes totally silent for hundreds of years, linking these two words together again until we read about it in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 11, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Speaking of the bride, Jesus finally gets his land, his own land, flowing with milk and honey. Glory to God. And where is his land? Where is his inheritance? It's not the United States. It's not Germany. It's not Europe. It's you. So where do we find milk and honey flowing from under the tongue of the bride? Oh, hallelujah. The land of Israel has ceased to be the land flowing with milk and honey for thousands of years. But my brother, there is a land in this age, praise God, and the milk and honey has come back to the bride. We went through a dry spell for hundreds of years, but God sent a honeybee in Malachi 4 and started building up the honey, and the milk started flowing from the opening of the word of God, and now the bride's got milk and honey under her tongue. Praise be to God. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Take up your milk and honey. Can I have a few more minutes? Numbers chapter 31. Verse 1. Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. Isn't it amazing that the life of Moses is the exact span that Noah preached
to the peoples of the earth. Now Moses' life is 120 years. It's broken up into three major increments of time in 3 40s. 3 40s, of course, 120. The first 40 was his years of being in Egypt. The second 40 are his years in the desert in Midian. And at the age of 80, he appears before Pharaoh. And the last pull of 40 years was spent in service to Elohim. Glory. Now notice what Moses says. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. You know, to me, this again shows what a leader this man was. Moses is 120 years old. Now we know the Bible tells us when God got ready to take him, that he still had his strength and he still had good eyesight that he was able to see, and his strength was not abated, is the word that the scripture uses. So we know that it was not that he was incapable of moving around, because he goes up to the mountain by himself to die. It was not that he was so feeble that he could not go. But there's two points that we want to look at, is that God had allowed the man the provided strength, stamina, zeal, wisdom, ability, on and on and on, that he needed to run the course. But remember, because of striking the rock twice, God told him, you'll not go over into the land. So it's like the consummation of his strength and his wisdom and whatever more is running up, and he says, I cannot go out anymore before you. I can't go out and come back in. I've run my time. My time has run out. And also he says, God told me that I wouldn't be able to go. So now he separates these two things and shows us that God, when God calls a man in an office, whether it's a preacher or to be a pastor, evangelist, or teacher, or deacon, or trustee, whatever more, that God calls it, God gives strength and ability to be able to stay in that spot as long as the increment of time on God's providence is with that. Now, you know, it's a sad thing when you see preachers that keep hanging on and hanging on, and physically they can't really pastor the church. They can't take care of the psychological problems of the church. They can't take care of so many of the issues that's going on in the church, but they absolutely refuse to give the church over to a younger man who has the ability to do it. I'd have thought there'd been more amens. There must be more pastors here than what I realized. All you women pastors too. My goodness, all you brothers pastors. Now you think, does God do that? It's the stubbornness of man. You see, many men, it's sad to see, but it's like the last check mark on their life that they were not the type of leader they should have been all during their life, or they would be able to gracefully step away and turn over and recognize, I can no longer go out and come back in. I just don't have the ability to preach as I did. No, I'm not fixing to retire, not at least for the weekend, but I hope and pray to God that if I live that long, that God will give me enough wisdom to be able to realize, you know what? I can't come and go as I used to. I can't do this and I can't do that. Maybe we need to get somebody younger to be able to take the church, and not be an overlord over the top of that at the same time. And it's so sad, because what you see is many of these men that just linger on and linger on and linger on, and they cannot stand for the church to flourish under somebody else's ministry while they are alive. And they watch the thing go down spiritually in every other way, but they will not let it go. When will they let it go? When you bury them. And by then, the church is so far gone, it'll take a man of God years to ever get it built back up, simply because that preacher could not stand for a younger man to come in and be able to revive that church and bring it back up where it should be. It makes no sense to me. Is the church my church? Is the church my interest and in what I want it to be? I thought the church belonged to the Lord Jesus. I thought the bride of Christ belonged to Him, not me, not preachers. It's the same with deacons, trustees, whoever it is. I pray to God
that God helps all of us office holders of this church. When we come to a spot that we can no longer serve the people right because of our age or our inabilities, that God gives us the wisdom to be able to look and realize, you know what? I'm not a service to the people. I'm not a correct service to Brother Donnie. I'm not. But you know what? Many will not do it because of position. They cannot stand to not be in a position. Well, Lord, have mercy. I hope nobody brought rocks in your pockets tonight because I feel a headache coming on. Come on, children, you might as well say amen. Some people, once they get into position, if they're 385 years old and you got to roll them in a 13 wheelchair, they are not going to give it up. And it's all about them, not about the body. Well, Lord, I'm afraid we're in trouble again. And I did say we, since this is your word. Oh my, you know Moses didn't want to go. You know Moses didn't want to step back. But he realized it was time. When's the appropriate time for a preacher to retire? Now Moses is 120. What'd that be equivalent to today? About a 35-year-old man? I mean, this has been a long time ago. Lord have mercy, I'm 20 years past retirement already, according to that, ain't I? But it's amazing how that when purpose in life begins to run out, I think there's signs all around us. I think there's signs all around us that if we could look up and say, you know what? I believe some younger men should move into this position and take the church on. My Lord, sisters, at least you all can say amen, since we're not even talking about deaconesses and trusteesses and all that sort of thing. And what did Moses pray prior to this? God, give your people a man who will love them, a man who will go out and come back in. And notice, God never picked either of Moses' sons. Never picked his nephews. Isn't it amazing? Aaron was the high priest, which is kin to the prophet. Miriam played the tambourine in charge of singing, apparently, a lot of the singing conventions that they had in the message back then. They had a big position. But when it come to going into Jericho, God never followed the family pattern to lead him over into Jericho. But God chose a man who had the Spirit of God in him. Joshua was not kin to Moses. He was not anywhere, as far as we know, related to Moses in any way. And yet God went by right past Moses, had two sons. And both of them, of course, were grown by now. And if anybody had a right on claiming the Ten Commandments, they could have claimed and said, our daddy wrote them. Because the first said God wrote and broke them, but Moses actually wrote this. So they could actually say, our daddy wrote this. And I'll tell you one thing. If you're going to read our daddy's laws, you've got to get it through us. Well, hallelujah anyhow. But you know what? God never went that way. God never went with a nephew. God never went with an uncle. But God completely broke the pattern. We do not believe, according to Scripture, that it is a prophetic succession no more than it is an apostolic succession. God chooses who He will. Do I wish I had a son that would have followed in my stead and maybe God would have called him to preach? In one way I do, and one way I wouldn't wish such a thing on a poor boy of mine. I'm glad in one way I had girls. Well, more than one way. But you know what? You look at it and realize God don't do it that way. Just because a preacher's got a son don't mean he's a preacher. Just because a prophet's got a son don't mean he's going to come and take his stead. God proved that with Joshua. So what does God do? God begins to groom this man. And Joshua was Moses' servant before he became Moses' successor. That tells me a lot about people that claim their leaders are called to be preachers or this or that or the other. I like to watch and see how they serve in other established ministries and see if they have successor material. Praise the Lord. You can't be a true successor until first you're a true servant. Mama. Notice in verse 3, the Lord thy God, He will go over before thee. Notice. the Lord thy God will go over before thee. Over where? Jordan. He will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. Now we're coming into a different stage, and I'll close, of Israel's journey. You know what? God rolled back the Red Sea with the staff of Moses, and God done many things. A one-man ministry was the focus. But now they're fixing to go into their own fighting. God could have used hornets if he wanted to drive all of them out. That's a prophecy we'll look at here before long. God said he'd take hornets and drive them out. But there ain't one place in the scripture where he ever did it. So you see, you have to understand prophecy. It ain't just enough. So, well, the prophet said. Well, we're looking for fulfillment. Oh, you got to be careful when you're doing such. So now they're going to gain their inheritance, not by God doing all the miracles and them standing around watching, but they're going to gain their inheritance by their sword in hand. And you know what? You need a different administration. You don't need a man to stand out there like this. Come on, brothers. Come on, sisters. Everybody, y'all don't have to do nothing now. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm standing here holding the rod. I'm the one doing it. God said, no, that ain't going to work no more. So God said, I want a different man. I want a general. If God's picking a general to lead his people, uh-oh. You know what that tells me? We're fixing to fight. Amen. If God's picking a general to lead his people, that means it's no longer just sitting back in the recliner, let the prophet do this, and the prophet do that, and the prophet do something else. If God's picking generals in this message, you know what that tells you, don't you, church? Y'all heading to boot camp. Let's stand together. Oh, my. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall do unto them as it did to Sihon, to Og, and the king of the Amorites, and to the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do it. Uh-oh. That ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Notice the transition. Now it's going to be supernatural, super moving on natural. Under the prophet, it was supernatural, only basically conveyed through one man. Now it's going to be supernatural moving on their arms, giving their arms strength to fight and slay. Don't you understand where we are? If Brother Branham was here tonight, the priest is still able to preach, you think I'd be here tonight? If Brother Branham was having service in Branham Tabernacle and had to roll him up in a wheelchair, you think I'd be here? God knew exactly what he was doing when he allowed him to be taken to the earth. What did God do? God chose pastors and evangelists to take the same message right on. What for? In order to get an army ready to fight. Amen. Praise God. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Let me close with this thought. God's program for his nation did not depend on one man. Amen. Well, glory. God's program for his bride would not depend on Brother Branham leaving from the earth. Well, Brother Branham's gone, the bride will fail. Oh, no. Brother Branham was a major part in God calling this bride, but the bride must go on. Right? And if God desires for me to go before you all in the rapture, then your salvation is not based upon me. Your walk with God may have many different preachers in that aspect. There may be 15 or 20 different preachers down through your time when you started out as a Baptist coming up that God told all of them and give you a little something here and a little something there and a little something else for you in mind. Amen. How many evangelists have come through this church and different preachers, and God would move on them to say something directly for you? No doubt there'll be hundreds and hundreds of preachers that God has anointed and give them something for you as a child of God, because He loves you so much. He cared for you so much. So your salvation ain't dependent on one man. You making the rapture ain't depending on one man. Oh, God has this body in mind. God's going to fulfill His word. Oh my, I love Him, don't you? Be strong. Be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Now why would God say this unless there would be a tendency to be afraid? If you saw giants, what would you do? If you saw men that knew how to fight and had fought for generations, and you're still really just coming up on the heels of out of slavery, you're not trained soldiers, you're not trained men. Joshua led the first battle against the Amalekites. They come straight from slaves. Where do you figure in that silent period that the Bible don't speak about? Where do you figure they learned how to fight the Amalekites? Somebody had to retrain their thinking. You imagine they're getting out and they're fighting and taking swords and shooting bows and arrows, and they take off and they're first shooting them. Man, it goes up there to the ceiling, and it goes plumb over there, and it goes plumb over there. And they had to persistently lay with it in order to learn how quiet God is now going to use their God-given ability. So they got to stand there and shoot the arrow over and over and over again. And they take their sword and they learn how to hit. They didn't know how to fight. They'd made bricks. So they had to be trained. Under who? A servant is going to become a successor. Moses wasn't a warrior. But Joshua was. So who's training them behind the scenes while Moses is still alive? General Joshua. Praise be to God. Oh, don't you love Him, children? Let's bow our heads tonight. Each of us have to look at our own lives, of course, and think, what does God want me to be? What does God want my life to be? Does He want me to be defeated? Does He want me to be sick all the time? Does God want me to where I can't hardly go to church, to where I can't hardly hold my head up? Is that what God wants? Or are you settling for something on the other side of Jordan, but you're convinced in your mind, well, I've tried, and I just keep failing? You think these men learning how to be soldiers shot their arrow perfect the first time? Wonder how many hundreds of time it took them. An arrow, a bow, an arrow in your hands would seem so strange to mud daubers. No doubt they had to practice over and over and over again. And they'd practice on one another, and they'd run and they'd lunge. They didn't know how to march in order. They didn't know how to make a battalion and all that sort of thing. How many countless hours did they spend in preparation? Why? The change of dispensation would demand they learn how to fight. God wasn't going to do it all the time for them. Neither is He, you and I. We've got to know how to fight. And when the enemy fights against you, tries to rob your mind, you stand there with or without the anointing and stand on the word. With or without feeling. Will you fail? Yes. You'll miss the target. You'll throw your spear and miss it a mile. You'll shoot your arrow and miss it hundreds of feet maybe. But you keep on going and going and going until you get good at it. Then when the battle comes, oh glory, you have confidence in what God has given you. Amen. Lord Jesus. I mean, it wants to be a soldier in the army of God. Oh, wouldn't it be easier, friends, if the prophet was here and my, we just all attended the meetings. And don't you think it'd be so much easier to turn this church into a tape church? I just stopped preaching. All the preachers stopped preaching. We just start playing Brother Brown. All I do is bury the dead and marry the young, and don't do no counseling, and don't do no preaching, and don't do no studying, and we just turn it into a tape church. After all, who could out preach Brother Branham? Who can preach better than Brother Branham could? Come on now. Brother Branham has lived his day and lived it well. And this is our time to take what that prophet preached and manifest it and live it. Let us take up our armament as it was, and meet Satan in our fight. Let's pray together.
I know there's many needs among us. There's many sicknesses and things this time of year. Of course, always terrible viruses and whatever are going around. Maybe there's some of you here tonight that aren't feeling well. Maybe not so much physically, but spiritually. You're just out for the Lord to help you and give you strength. Sometimes, friend, the reason that you're not seeing the display of supernatural is because you're looking at it for the wrong way. You're looking for the supernatural apart from you. When many times the super will anoint your natural. He will anoint your ability to quote the word, or anoint your ability to pray, or anoint your ability to praise, anoint your ability to come to the house of God. And through that, he will defeat the enemy. And you're looking at it to be something totally exterior from you. Oh, the heavens will open up. My, this great, mighty something or other. Be careful now. Under the leading of Joshua. Show me one time where Joshua ever done the things that Moses did. Oh, sure, he still stopped the sun and the moon and all that. And how many times did he do it? Once. How many times did the walls fall down around the cities? Once. And yet they took hundreds of cities. Every little village that had a king was a city with a wall. They took literally hundreds of cities with walls, but only one of them fell down flat. How do you figure they got the rest of them? Super anointing their natural. So they'd climb the walls, they'd scale the walls, they'd burn the walls, they'd tear them down, they'd go under them. They'd do everything in the world. And the same Spirit of God that tore down the walls of Jericho was anointing them now to scale the walls. The same Spirit of God that done the supernatural move was now anointing their eye to hold that arrow right straight on the mark and giving them the ability to sling their sword. It's the same thing that's going on. I realize it looks less supernatural. It doesn't look as wonderful to us, but it's the way God has chosen to do it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray for your children tonight, Lord. I know, dear God, many of these people, they face so many things in their everyday life, in their home, on their job, at school. Lord, I pray for strength. Truly, Lord God, we believe that we will have to fight for every inch of our ground. Maybe some of these people are still fighting to get into their inheritance. I believe for many of them, they've already got their inheritance. They're just fighting to keep what they've got. But wherever we are, Lord, we need your strength. We've never been this way before. Nobody has, actually. Nobody's ever lived this far down in Laodicea. Here we are years after the revival is over. In 1964, when they asked Brother Branham about why it's so hard to pray, read your Bible. And he said, well, brother, sister, the revival is over. Lord Jesus, if it was over in 1964, then think of how harder it is now. So your soldiers must press and have a soldier's life. Lord God, help us, I pray. Strengthen, heal, deliver. Bring peace tonight, I pray, Lord God, to your children. Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tonight, dear God, Lord, you see this having this surgery and replacing his knee, and it's a difficult thing, Lord. We're grateful that doctors can be able to do these things, yet there's so much that comes with it, Father. We ask you that you just strengthen our brother. Heavenly Father, you see these other needs that he's mentioned tonight, Lord. I don't believe this is your will for my brother, Lord, to be in pain and be suffering and Lord, going through these things, I just can't believe that's what your intended purpose for the rest of his life. No, God. No, Lord. I'm asking you for your strength tonight, for Brother Kenneth, Father. May the Spirit of God help him, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, we draw our swords, as the soldiers of God. Lord, whenever they fought under Joshua, if one of their brothers and sisters would get down, they wouldn't leave them there by themselves to face the enemy.
But I imagine those other people would rally around them. They might have been wounded, but they wouldn't leave them there to die. Neither do we leave ours, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I pray for my brother tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, strengthen him, Lord. May this thing leave him. Satan, I adjure you, in the name of Jesus Christ, take your hand away from my brother. This body of ours is our property. As long as our soul lives in this body, it is our house. You may attack it, but it is our house, and we have rights to our house. And the Holy Ghost is here to enforce our rights. Strengthen my brother tonight, Lord. May all of these symptoms leave him, Lord God. Speak peace to his heart and his mind tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, I want to call Sister Jane Terrell's name to you. Lord, I pray for our sister tonight, Father. Lord Jesus, going to visit her today, and then Brother Gene called me this afternoon saying she was doing better, but Lord, we don't want her just to be better. We want her to be well. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray you would touch her tonight. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God reach out to her, Lord. Healing is part of our land. Healing is part of our inheritance. Lord, if you choose a miracle, we accept it. If you choose divine healing, we accept it. Lord, although we know divine healing may take weeks, but yet, Father God, that's the way it was in the possession of the land of Canaan. It was the divine healing way, as it were, and that takes a long time sometimes because it is a strong, persistent faith. Father, strengthen my sister and strengthen Brother Gene, we ask. In Jesus' name, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. How many want your inheritance on the other side of Jordan? Praise God. Don't give me Gilead. Don't give me the land of Sihon and Og. Oh my. Give me that land where the giants are. Give me that land that begins, and let the border begin with death. Hallelujah. That in order for me to get over there, glory to God, to the land of Canaan, the land of Canaan, the land of the seven nations. You are privileged children to sit under a land of the seven seals. I'd like to get to it if the Lord will allow me into this gate of worship. That we're not worshiping under the justification of Luther. We're not worshiping under the sanctification of Wesley. We're not worshiping under the restoration of gifts of Pentecost. But we are worshiping under the opening of the seven seals. Which is what? A book that has been brought to declare our inheritance. And to know that our Ephesians parallels Joshua. Or Yahshua. Hallelujah, Jehovah Savior. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan. Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. When I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't like it, you see. I'm filled with the Spirit, and there's not a doubt, and that's what's the matter with me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Yes, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. You heard the sweet music, the heavenly call, from glory land over the sea. A soul thrilling message from Jesus our Lord, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.
God bless you, saints. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Go with us, I pray, Lord. May we, like sheep, ruminate on these things. May each of us, Lord, resurvey our land. May we survey it by the divine-given ability that you've placed in each of our lives. For truly, for a look at our lives and the deed which is unfolded in us, it's not really that hard to find your will for us. We look at that mystery of God and what our faith is able to grab a hold of, and we know that you would never anoint us beyond our measure. You'd never anoint us beyond our predestinated allotment of God. It's just, you won't do it. When I see people going that way, it's so heartbreaking, Lord, because I realize they think it's God doing it, but in reality, it's not. You will always make us line up with what's written in the allotment of the book. Father, help us, and help us that we will not settle for less. Oh, Jesus, I want every acre. I want absolutely every tree, every rock, every honeybee, every flower that's supposed to be on my land. I don't want to give up one thing, Lord. Dear God, I'm reminded when Moses went down to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh finally consented a little bit, and he said, well, y'all go on down, let the men go. He said, no, the women's going too. And he said, well, let the men and the women go, but keep the kids. He said, no, the kids is going. He said, well, y'all go, but keep your herds here. He said, there'll not be one hoof left behind. We're taking everything that's ours. Lord Jesus, that's the way we feel tonight. Lord, that's the way we feel about our families and our children and backsliders and whoever more, whoever, Lord God, that's on that book, that's who we want to go. That's the way we feel about our inheritance. I don't want to get mine, Lord, just all together in the millennium. I want everything in right now and time that I'm supposed to have. Then I'll live up to my millennium allotment. But let me have everything I'm supposed to have right now, dear God. In Jesus' name, praise be to God. Hallelujah. And the saints said, amen. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I'll see you this weekend. Brother Burley Williams will be coming over visiting with us on Saturday night. He wanted to come over and see me a little bit, so I asked him to preach for us Saturday night. So He's a really fine brother, so let's come expecting the Lord to meet with us on Saturday night, and then Lord willing, I'll be taking service again on Sunday morning. But let's come back expecting the Lord to move, and oh my, just have our inheritance broadened up just a little bit more. God ain't changing the deed. Don't think God's doing giving you more ability to read what's in your deed. Whatever God ordained for you to have, that's what you want to have. But He just continually opens up our understanding of what's in our allotment, and we just take it day by day. God bless you. Go. Be of courage. Be of good strength, for the Lord thy God is with thee. He'll never leave thee. He'll never forsake thee. Be of good courage.
This is like heaven to me, praise God. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. We find many people who can understand why we are so happy and free. We crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven.